That last sentence in the gospel reading is a powerful, powerful sentence. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And what makes it so powerful, as all you grammarians know, is that the verb is in the perfect tense. And so today plus a perfect tense has been fulfilled means that what is being said here is, continues to be, and will keep on being fulfilled. Today is every day. Today is always. The fulfillment of God's word is always, already happening in every today of our lives. That means that the word that Jesus reads for us is a performative proclamation and a promise and an invitation. First, it's a performative proclamation. And you've heard me talk about performative words before. Or, of course, if we really want to get fancy, this is the perlocutionary form of the word. What it means is that, particularly with respect to God and God's words to us, what God says is also what God does. God's saying is God's doing. That started right off in Genesis 1, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God's saying, "Let there be," is God's doing, the creating of light. And that is how God's word as saying and doing works throughout the history of Israel, works in the life of Jesus, and indeed continues to work in the world and in our lives today. And so that performative proclamation tells us first and foremost that there is reconciliation with God. That you see, when God speaks, when it is in our hearing, in our ears, what happens so many times is we prefer to be deaf. We prefer not to hear. We stop up our ears and say, "No, God, whatever your word is, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to have anything to do with it." And of course, if we don't hear what the other is saying, the possibility for relationship, for communication, for working with one another is lost. Think about that. How can you have a friendship if you would never talk with the other person? How could there be meaningful relationships if you would never talk with the other person? And so the power of God's word is to bring about reconciliation. God says and does that reconciling work to reconcile us. Another performative proclamation that is there is the whole sense of building community. That's what the second lesson is all about. Paul's letter to the Corinthians talks about indeed how God's word at work in the community among the people builds the body of Christ. There are many diverse people with diverse character, with diverse gifts, but the word of God creates and brings them all together into community. into one body, into that sense of we all belong. And that comes about through that word of God, building community among us. And finally, that word works in that it brings about healing. Healing in relationships, and indeed even healing for our bodies. The word of healing in relationships is the word of forgiveness. To say, I forgive, is indeed the act of forgiving. And it is forgiveness that heals broken relationships. And that word for the healing of the body, it's not the same thing as cure. The healing comes from that understanding of bringing about a sense of peace, of bringing about the understanding that whatever afflictions might befall us, we are not alone. That God is with us, and those words will give us the strength, the assurance to endure, to see through, and know, again, as Paul would say, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. And that is a word of healing. But to say today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing is also a word of promise. Even when it doesn't seem like it is, indeed the promise is there that God is on the side of the vulnerable, the marginalized, the powerless, the isolated, the forgotten, the ignored. God is on our side. You see, again, often the way the world wants to work and often the way we think and work is there are those who are in and those who are out. And this word of promise is particularly good news for those who feel they are outcast, for those who think that they are out. Because the way in which we often want to categorize people is to put them in terms of us, the in crowd, and them, or those people. And you know, those people have all sorts of problems. They're troubled. They're not one of us. And God's promise is there are no in and out. There are no such things as the included and the excluded. And Jesus, in this word, and of course that word goes into action throughout his ministry, continues to show us again and again and again how God is at work seeking and bringing in all those who thought they were on the outside or who others thought were on the outside. And indeed, that is not the case. God's word to us is that all are beloved children of God. All are included under God's reign and rule of grace and mercy and love. And there is no division about in and out, included excluded. We all belong to God. The final thing about this word that today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing is precisely this sense of in your hearing, or literally in your ears. It's happening in your ears. Do you hear it ringing? Wayne hears it ringing, I'm sure. But the rest of us, is it ringing there too? Because this word is the summons, the commissioning that all of us participate in God's work. All of us are also involved in that proclamation and in that promise. And that God works through us and our works. You can go, me? Us? Really? I'll give you one example. The obvious example tonight. Just look in front of you. Quilts. Now, quilts, maybe not a big deal, but think of it this way. You're a Syrian refugee. You had to leave your house, your job, your relatives, your community, everything you've had, and you are now in a refugee camp in Jordan. You're in a tent, you've got a cot, all you could bring was what you could put in your backpack, and quite frankly, bedding wasn't the highest on your priority list about what to pack. So there you are. This time of year, the temperature can get to zero. It would be nice to have a quilt to keep you warm. Given all your trials, probably still will be a restless sleep. But to think of not even having a little warmth makes it even worse. Now, the people receive quilts in refugee camps in Jordan is not going to bring about peace in the Middle East. But it is one of the ways, small though it might be, but certainly important to this person at this time, that God is at work, trying to bring about that sense of love and care for all. That this person too is not excluded. This person as well is not outside the reign and rule of God's grace and love and mercy. And God has been at work by putting that good news in our ears to do what we can to fulfill the promises that God has given. Epiphany, as I've said, is this notion of showing forth, shining forth, so that what Epiphany does is show us who Jesus is. In that sense, Epiphany reveals what Christmas was all about. One person who captured that succinctly is Howard Thurman. And in his poem, The Work of Christmas, he wonderfully brings together that sense of Christmas and Epiphany and what our gospel reading is about today. This is his poem, The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. And so we today, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, our ears attuned to his words, continue the work of God.